Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
With just 10 days until the return of full contact inter-county GAA training, reports have emerged of another county team allegedly breaching public health guidelines. The Irish Independent is this morning reporting that a dossier sent anonymously to Justice Minister Helen McEntee contains both photographs and video which appear to show members of the Monaghan senior football team taking part in a training session at the end of March. This comes just a week after the suspension of Dublin senior football manager Desi Farrell for a training session breaching lockdown rules. To take a closer look at this, I'm joined on the line by RTE GAA reporter Damien Lawler, former Kerry footballer and RTE analyst Tomás O'Shea, and Fine Gael MEP for Ireland South and former GAA president Sean Kelly. Good morning to all of you. Damien, take us through, if you wouldn't mind, please, what it is that is understood to have happened here.
Yes, Philip. Well, it's alleged that at the end of March, and also purported that there's photographic evidence appearing to show the Monaghan footballers engaging in a training session at a GAA grounds on the last weekend in March. This information has been passed on to a newspaper and to the Department of Justice, and currently it's being looked into by the Gardaí. So it's probably coming on the day that the GAA will announce its fixture roadmap for 2021. It's the fourth breach this year so far, and I think it's probably the sooner April the 19th comes, the better, I think, for everybody concerned here, because this has been an ongoing saga. Last winter, the inter-county players, just to give some context, Philip, were being hailed by the government and the Taoiseach as a virtue of the symbol of the country's fight back, that the inter-county championships were allowed to take place and successfully completed. And after that juncture, then, the inter-county status was revoked. And now you have a situation just months later whereby a Garda investigation is underway into an alleged training session, which is against the COVID and government regulations at the moment as well, it must be said.
And have Monaghan GAA said anything, or do they feel that their hands are tied because there's a Garda investigation now?
Yeah, I think that the latter is the case. Certainly when the Irish Independent contacted the county board, they said they weren't aware of any breach or an alleged breach, but I would imagine pretty quickly there'll be an investigation into that. We saw recently with Dublin situation whereby a few hours after their case emerged in the public domain, the Dublin County Board took action and suspended the manager for 12 weeks. And I think that's in line with previous sanctions issued to Cork and Down for similar kind of breaches earlier this year. The 12-week suspension for the manager, potential loss of home advantage in the Allianz League then for two games, Philip. And while the idea of a financial penalty has been mooted, I don't think that's been followed through upon yet. So I think that's the latest update. There's been no official comment apart from that from the Monaghan County Board.
And do we know, Damien, does this dossier give us any indication or proof when this event is alleged to have happened? Because if it's the end of March, well, you know, that could be as much as 2 weeks ago, and that would be pertinent in the context of other punishments having been doled out.
Yeah, so effectively, with the newspaper, the Irish Independent, that reported this morning, they're alleging that it took place on the last weekend in March. We've certainly seen no evidence, photographic or otherwise, to back that up or to disagree with that. But if you take into account, it was the last weekend in March. It was before the government announced the latest kind of minimal kind of withdrawal from the restrictions that we have at the moment. And it's probably coming ahead of the GAA's announcement. For the last 2 weeks, Philip, the GAA have been putting out many bulletins pleading and warning units to kind of keep the governance in mind. I suppose we've got a 32-county organisation, 2,200 clubs. Currently, we believe there's an investigation going into one club's affairs, and four counties have been kind of highlighted for breaches of the restrictions. Mm-hmm. So it's certainly not endemic of the association, but they're high-profile breaches too, and the GAA won't be happy with that.
Tomás O'Shea, good morning to you.
Good morning, Philip.
Are you surprised to see another alleged breach here?
I think the timing of it it doesn't look great. I'm not surprised, no, Philip, to see that there are other teams possibly taking part. You know, I suppose it is, my own personal opinion is I think that sport should be back at this age, but that has nothing to do with this situation. There's rules in place and the rules need to be adhered to, and they weren't. And I suppose it is strange the fact that it happened the last weekend of March, and then the day that the fixture plans are to be announced, that it's landed upon us. So it's strange in that
way. Look,
there
may or may not be skullduggery going on there, but you know, the point is that, as Damien said, the GAA have been very firm about this, but there seems to be, well, allegedly, a fair large number of teams and county associations that are prepared to ignore that.
Yeah, well, I suppose the GAA put out a statement before Dublin were caught, and in that statement they said a breach in training rules would jeopardise the return of Gaelic Games. There was a breach. They said that another breach would definitely mean trouble. So we will wait and see. I think the big difference between Cork and Down earlier in the season compared to Dublin and Monaghan is that the Dublin and Monaghan issues happened on GAA grounds. So I think that there is precedence in terms of the sanctions that could be laid down by the GAA, but on the other hand, the only difference to it, and people will say just because it's closer to the date, the rules were the same, Philip, back in February as they were now. We were in lockdown, so I mean, the same if the whatever was thrown to the Cork and Down managers, the same what was thrown to Desi. They were, I think the GAA were supposed to announce their own suspension for Desi today or for whatever they were going to throw at Dublin. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think in terms of just the timing of it is just terrible. Like, we're so close to the end edge of it, like, that if it was a case that there was that the GAA would come out and do something and say we're not going to come back because of what's happening, then I think it would be very tough on the teams that are trying to stay focused on the return and doing their best to ensure that they do everything right until that return. And you know, when you think of children here, and I'm sick of going on about it, I think children should be back at this stage. I think it'd be brilliant for their state of mind and all that, and something like this to jeopardise all
would,
that.
But we all have to follow the advice, Tomás,
exactly.
Nonetheless.
Yeah.
Sean Kelly, let me bring you in here. Look, if it indeed does prove to be the case that this is now the fourth incident of teams not following what the GAA have said has to be done, is the GAA not waving a big enough stick here?
Well, I think that's not really the situation, because, in fairness, they dealt with the Cork and Down situation pretty quickly. They're now dealing with the Dublin situation, and Monaghan has arrived. It's interesting, the timing of Monaghan. I think it was before the Dublin training session. I doubt if any took place since, because of the consequences and the high-profile reaction to it. So while Monaghan were in breach, and Tomás is right, it's terrible to see it happening so officially organised in a GAA club by a county team. That's just not good enough, and the GAA will have to look at it. But I also think, though, that penalising everyone else who has kept the rules isn't the way to go. The GAA did that last Christmas when a couple of county clubs got carried away when they won a county title, and then they postponed all the other county titles.
But in this instance, Sean, how does suspending Desi Farrell for 12 weeks penalise everybody else? Is that not the appropriate thing to do?
Oh, absolutely, I agree completely. But what I'm saying is that the others shouldn't be penalised by postponing the opening in the 19th of April. That's what I'm referring to.
Okay.
So obviously, indeed, it was the right thing to do, and Dublin were right to react so quickly. And even though there is an investigation going on with the Gardaí in Monaghan, I think it might be helpful if Monaghan were able to come out and put their hands up and say, listen, we made a mistake and we will cooperate with the Gardaí and we'll take
it
from there.
Let's follow due process and let the Gardaí investigate and Monaghan say what they have to say without us prejudging it, if you don't mind. Damien, you've got your ear to the ground there. Picking up on what Sean says, do you think that it could be the case that the sanction on Desi Farrell was actually enough, and that county teams, county boards are paying much closer attention since that?
Well, I think that the Dublin case emerging in the public domain, it took everybody by surprise. With the Cork and Down situation, it was earlier in the year on non-GAA property, as Tomás said, and while there was a certain amount of scrutiny on that, it was nothing like what happened with Dublin. I think Dublin imposed a 12-week ban because it was in line with what the Cork and Down football managers previously got. They took a huge amount of steam out of that episode, Philip, by preempting any investigation at a general level and looking after it themselves. I think maybe if the the allegations are accurate. With Monaghan, it would be probably welcome if the Monaghan County Board looked into it in a similar way. But I guess...
From what you're hearing from around the county after Dublin's sanction against Desi, were most people thinking it's just not worth the risk of losing your manager for 3 months or whatever other sanction could possibly be imposed?
Unless I'm being wildly naive here, most counties feel like that anyway. I reiterate the point that out of 2,200 clubs and 32 counties, we've had four alleged county breaches and one club. So while I'm not naive enough to consider that everybody is keeping in line, I would say the broad majority are. Every single day for the past 6-7 months, well, that's an exaggeration, for the past 2 or 3 months, I've had texts from inter-county managers, coaches, looking for guidance on any developments that are emerging from the ground of when they could go back. Under 20, under 18, a senior club, juvenile, all looking to know when will be right to resume a proper process. So in my experience, dealing with people on the ground, most people are doing it correctly.
Well, I'm afraid there is a
text... The breaches have been high profile, Philip, and that's not good for anybody.
The texter here who's contradicting you immediately, Damien, saying that suspending a GAA manager for 12 weeks makes no difference to anything. It's not a punishment at all. The GAA should man up and suspend the county from the championship, in Dec's opinion. Tomás, would that be taking a sledgehammer to crack a nut?
I would agree. I said it myself last weekend that maybe the sanctions from the outset, if they were tough enough, Philip, I don't think you might have the issues with Dublin and Monaghan later on in the season. If they had come down tougher, maybe on Down and maybe on Cork, then maybe teams would think twice about it. The fact that the manager is, and it is tough on the manager, and it would hurt Desi more than it would hurt...
Yeah, well, how tough is it on the manager? Because, I mean, he is only banned from activities on the sideline. He's not banned from all of his managerial duties.
Well, I suppose at the moment, in terms of doing it through Zoom or whatnot, but when they go back in the training pitch, he's not allowed to be there at training matches, or he's not allowed to be there on meetings before the games, and... during a game, he'd be able to be in the stadium watching the match. But that is, Philip, in fairness, you want a manager to be at the training sessions, and you want a manager to be on the sideline and in the dressing room before the matches. That's the big thing. But I do think maybe that if they had the sanctions, maybe, and it can't be because the precedents of the Kerry are the Cork and the Down situation doesn't allow that now, but had they come down maybe tougher, whereas maybe the team, maybe I saw it bandied about there at the weekend, maybe if the team was maybe held back another 2 weeks before everybody else as a punishment to come back collectively training, if you hurt the team more so than just the manager itself, it might be a kind of a deterrent to come back earlier. But it's all hindsight now, because the Down situation and the Cork situation was dealt as it was.
Sean, last word to you on this. If it were to turn out to be the case that Monaghan did do this and did it after the Desi Farrell suspension and what Dublin done, and in the knowledge of what the possible consequences were, the GAA would really need to start thinking about much stiffer penalties, wouldn't they?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think while it's difficult for a manager to be suspended, and there's obviously reputational damage involved as well, I think for breaches of this nature, they're all adults. We all have to comply with the regulations. The GAA will have to say, I think, that anything of this nature that happens again, that the team itself is going to have to be penalised. And Tomás made a very good suggestion there, maybe to say you can't start training until 2 or 3 weeks after other counties would be a good place to start, because that would send out a positive signal to those who abided by the rules and to penalise those, not just the manager.
Indeed. And a competitive advantage as well. Okay, Sean Kelly, Tomás O'Shea and Damien Lawler, thank you all very much. We're going to the United States after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.